May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 224. Grace is Jehovah's sovereign will in an eternal covenant sure, which for his seed he will fulfill longer than sun and moon endure. Hymn 224.
Thank you. May we be helped to read in the holy word of God from the Gospel according to John and the 10th chapter. The Gospel according to John, reading chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. And it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple, in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him, whom the Father hath sanctified, and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand, and went away again beyond Jordan, into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him, and said, John did no miracle, but all the things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. Amen. May the Lord bless his words to us each and teach us to pray. Thou eternal and most gracious and compassionate Lord God, to grant us the aid of thy Holy Spirit in this solemn exercise of calling upon thy name and of seeking thy face, and do put us in remembrance of thy manifold mercies, of thy loving kindness, and how we must come in the spirit of one who said of all, It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, for his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And, O Lord, if we were to begin with ourselves, where would we start when we think of our weakness, our sinnership, our worldliness, our dullness of heart? But we must begin with thee and thy faithfulness, thy covenant mercies. And we bless thee that thou art faithful. Thou art that God which cannot lie. And we rest upon these things that are eternal, those things which cannot be shaken, the things of thy word, of thy promise. And we bless thee for thy compassion, for we taste of it each day that we awake, each day that thou grantest us that which cometh of thee. For we read that in thee we live and move and have our being. And it is of thy goodness that we may awake and arise each day. And we would seek to thank thee for health and strength granted. Perhaps for some it is in measure, but we would bless thee that thou dost so favour us. And now we are found once more within thine earthly courts, on this the first day of a new week. And we have cause to acknowledge that thou hast lengthened out the brief span of our lives upon earth. Thou hast spared us once more to see a Lord's day and to be found with thy people, with thy seeking ones, the assembly of thy saints. And O, help us to acknowledge thy goodness. Help us to thank thee and help us to praise thee for thy goodness and thy truth. And O gracious God, these things are through the eternally beloved Son, the one whose gracious words we have read, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And it is a mercy that we may speak of one, and one who truly, not as those Jews of old alleged, but who truly, being God, was made man. And we bless thee because thus God is manifest in the flesh. And the dear Son of God, the eternal Son, was so made a great high priest, and he was made in all things like unto his brethren. And truly this is what we feel we need, God in our nature, one to sympathize with us, and one who was fitted to atone for our many, many sins, for our transgressions, to take upon his own dear head that weight of guilt. And we bless thee for that covenant of redemption in him, a people beloved from the foundation of the earth, a people chosen in eternity past, and a people to whom and for whom he came, and as we read, his own dear sheep, and he came that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Oh, help us to come through this new and living way. Help us to approach unto the majesty of God in heaven, and to come through such a mediator, such a great high priest, as has passed into the heavens and is on the right hand of God. And we would think, O gracious Lord, of thy sufferings and of the penalty that thou didst bear upon thy holy soul. And we would be reminded of thy sorrowings, thy agony in the garden, and all that thou didst bear. But O, teach us afresh of these things. Teach us concerning thy sorrows. Teach us concerning that load, all of thy people's transgressions, and how thou didst say, the cup that the Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? how it is writ of thy dear soul that it was poured out unto death. But O help us to think of Calvary and that precious yet solemn scene, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, the Lamb offered, the Lamb lifted up. O help us to think concerning thy precious blood, that blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, the blood that flowed from thy side, from thy bruised head, from thy hands and thy feet. And truly what we desire is this, to know the reality of that blood as cleansing blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which, saith the Apostle, cleanseth us from all sin. Do help us to feel the sweetness of thy dying words. It is finished, the completion, the fulfillment, and yes, finished, that one offering, that one sacrifice for sins, forever. We would, as enabled, desire to rejoice in thy resurrection, the empty tomb, the grave clothes neatly folded, and all the evidence of that mighty power that was put forth when thou, the Lord Jesus, didst rise from the dead. For as we have read, thou didst have power, yea, to lay down thy life, but also to take it again. And thou wast raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. And we would rejoice in it. He is not here. He is risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay. And who bring us to meditate upon not only thy resurrection, but thy ascension into glory, and how thou art now seated at the Father's right hand, seated as an high priest who hath completed the offering and the sacrifice. And now that blood that availeth in heaven's high court for good, and those prayers of intercession, are these things that sustain thy dear people, they who are strangers and pilgrims upon the earth, but who know that there is a Saviour and a Redeemer who watcheth over them and who prayeth for them, that their faith fail not. O grant us to know that these things are our lot and our portion and our inheritance. And do bring us into remembrance also of that solemn fact that thou, the Redeemer, shalt not always remain in heaven, for there is coming a day when thou shalt return in power and great glory, and when this earth shall cease in its present state, and when all tribes and all nations shall be gathered before thee at the judgment. Make our hearts solemn in view of these things, knowing that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, knowing that we must all appear before God. Do grant us to be ready against that day. We remember how the apostle of old did say, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. But oh, may it be true of ourselves, each and every one of us, that there are those solemn things, things concerning our souls, things concerning eternity, that we have graciously been able to commit unto the Lord Jesus against that day. And grant each one to know that he is their Lord, and to say with Paul of old, I know whom I have believed. Grant us that preparedness, and do grant us true repentance in our hearts. Grant us faith in him. Grant us that grace to confess our sins, knowing that thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And may that blood be our plea throughout life, and may it avail even for such as we. O Lord, thou knowest how thy people are gathered here in this dear congregation. Thou knowest with what concerns we have come. Thou knowest the burdens, the sorrows, the anxieties upon each heart. But thou desirest this, that there may be that solemn ministering of thy word, and that it may be to the peace and to the comfort of many souls. And perhaps a word of rebuke is needed, perhaps a word of correction, perhaps a word of exhortation. But do suit the word to each case. And may it be, as we read, a word in season to him that is weary. And we know, O Lord, that these things are of thee. It is thou that must give the word by thy Spirit. But do help this poor instrument. Do help this poor servant. To help this poor earthen vessel, even to speak those things which are of thee and are of thy truth. And we pray for all of thy dear servants, those who labour upon the walls of Zion this day, those who sound the gospel trumpet. And may it be as we read in the psalm, blessed are the people that have heard the joyful sound. Oh, that it might be a joyful sound, that it might be the proclaiming of the year of release, the jubilee, and may it be liberty to the captives. And oh, that the Lord Jesus Christ might be seen to bring forth willing captives out of Satan's dominion, out of the stronghold of that strong man armed. May it be a bringing into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. To grant the hearing ear, and again we need to come to thee, and to plead that thou wilt open the blind eyes, and unstop the deaf ears, yea, that thou wilt cause the lame to walk, and even this, that thou wilt raise the dead. I do grant that spiritual life, that hearing, that seeing. Open the eyes of each one, that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And do grant that the gospel may have free course and be glorified this day. To be with thy little flocks, be with thy congregations, up and down this land and throughout this world. May it be a true gathering under the name and authority of the dear Lord Jesus Christ. And, O Lord, we confess that we have much that we must bring before thee, and especially as we think of thy congregations, of thy churches, and those connected with us and in our little denomination. Do look with favour upon Zion, and we confess that it is a time in which we know much trouble. It is a time when, as we would think of Jerusalem of old, it seems the walls are broken down and the people are gone into captivity. But we would look to thee in the promise of thy word, and hope and trust that it might be so, that the time to favour her, yea, the set time, is come. And when the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. And truly this is what is so needed. For thou, the Lord Jesus, the great head of the church, to appear, and to appear in thy glory. And we know that if thou shalt so favour thy people, if thou shalt so favour us with a glimpse of that glory, then it shall be for the taking off of our hearts from worldly things. It shall be for the stripping away of all that is of pride and of the natural man. And then it shall be a drawing out of the hearts of each one unto thee. O do grant this mercy. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And grant us to behold thy glory. Then we shall know the truth of what thou didst say to thy servants of old. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the ground, for the place whereon thou standest, is holy ground. O do glorify thine own name, and may we also know that joy of seeing those elect vessels of mercy, those dead elect, the lost sheep, brought unto thy fold. O do grant that thy work of grace may be known, yea, in our hearts, and if it could please thee, in the hearts of those, some perhaps for whom we have prayed for many years, those whom we know and love. But oh, that thou mightest be glorified. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. May we be favoured to prove it, and to testify of it. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt be with us throughout this day. Cleanse us and wash us from our many iniquities and transgressions. Grant us each to come to that fountain, once opened for sin and for uncleanness. And do teach us through thy word of truth. For we seek these mercies in and through that dear name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.
May we now sing hymn 1083. My God, my Father, blissful name, O may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. Hymn 1083.
May the Lord be graciously pleased to guide us each into the truth of his own word, and especially as it is found in that 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John that we read earlier, but especially in the 27th verse of that chapter. John chapter 10, and we shall read again from verse 27 to verse 30. Words of the Lord Jesus Christ. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Well, thinking then in particular of this relation between the Lord Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep, and his flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now you will have noticed as we read this chapter that the Lord Jesus is dealing with those unbelieving Jews who had come to him, especially as we read in the temple in Solomon's porch. Doubtless as he walked in that covered place during winter time. And you may have noticed also that the things of which he speaks in this verse, the verse of our text, are those matters that he had already addressed earlier in the chapter, when he had spoken of the fold and of the porter and of the door of the sheep. Notice, for instance, how he says in verses 2 and 3, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. So there is the voice of the Lord Jesus, the shepherd, and it is heard by his sheep. Again, verse 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. It is true, therefore, that the sheep, yea, hear his voice, but they also know it. They recognize it. It is familiar to them. And as you will know, if sheep recognize the shepherd, if he is one familiar to them, then they are at ease. And they will follow him. Remember that we are speaking here of the custom in those Middle Eastern lands at the time of our Lord, where, generally speaking, the shepherds would lead his sheep, something perhaps we are less familiar with in our own custom. But notice what an apt and what a precious picture it is of the Lord Jesus spiritually leading his sheep. Well, what we learn also from the earlier verses of this chapter is that, alas, there were many who were not true shepherds, many thieves and robbers, many hirelings. And as the Lord Jesus had said earlier in verse 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. And this really is the context for what he says in the verse of our text, remembering that he is speaking to those Jews who plainly did not believe in him. But he is speaking also of the rulers, the leaders, the teachers of the Jews. Now, it does not mean that not any of the prophets of whom we read in the Old Testament were true shepherds. Rather, it means that especially the Pharisees and the scribes, those we believe are those whom the Lord means when he says, "All that ever came before me," although doubtless there were false shepherds, those pastors of whom Ezekiel speaks, who were only interested in feeding themselves rather than the flock of God. Many false prophets, as well as the true ones, throughout the Old Testament. But here we think especially of those whose interest was only in their own good, in their own profit. And so the contrast is drawn. Those who came before, the hirelings, the thieves and the robbers. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I am the door. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Well, no wonder that the Lord Jesus must teach concerning these things. And it is sad, is it not, to read of the unbelief of the people. "How long," they say, "dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." By the way, does that remind you of another who came to the Lord Jesus with those words, if thou be the Son of God? That terrible blasphemy of Satan himself. Well, these are the words of unbelief. If thou be the Christ. Whereas the Lord's own people will be enabled by the teaching of God the Father to say, rather, "We believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, these questions, "If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answers them in verse 25. "I told you, and he believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." Therefore, we discern that it is a matter of faith against unbelief. It is a matter of trusting in the one who has been revealed, and here one who had demonstrated that he was truly from the Father, by his miracles, by his healings, by his teachings. In short, by those works that were truly the works of God the Father. But he says, "Ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." And that brings us to the verse of our text, which therefore comes to us as a question. Because if the Lord has just said, "Ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep," and then declares, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me," then clearly we, in our turn, are either of his sheep or are not. And the Lord lays down these great principles by which we may know, as the Spirit gives witness, whether we are truly of his flock or whether we are as yet outside of that fold. would to God that all who receive this word, and ourselves among them, might be found truly having entered by the door of the sheep, and have been granted this mercy to hear his voice and to follow him. Well, the Lord makes these three statements. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And as we reflect upon these things, it comes to us that really, the first of them is the second. Because he says, I know them. And the hearing of his voice and the following of the Lord Jesus are utterly dependent on this fact. The Lord Jesus knowing his own people. And as we read elsewhere, knowing them in eternity past, knowing them in covenant love, knowing them as the gift of his Father. And the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ has a flock, and why he is appointed the good shepherd of the sheep, is because of covenant love. Because of that solemn undertaking in eternity past, when the Father gave to his dear Son a people foreknown, a people predestinated out of Adam's lost race, a people favored that they should be the recipients of divine mercy. And when, in those solemn councils, the Lord Jesus undertook in time to come to this earth, to live, to suffer, to lay down his life for these sheep. It was because he knew them. He had been given them. And therefore they were upon his heart. Well, it seems wondrous to us, does it not? That the Lord Jesus should know each one of his elect people before ever the world had been created, let alone before any of them had been born into this world. But this knowledge, this foreknowledge, and it was because of this and because of his love. And yes, it is the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. But it was because of this that the Lord did come to redeem his people, and as he says here, to give his life for his sheep. But what the Lord did for his people, based on those counsels in eternity past, is a work for eternity to come also. That is why we could not omit to read the two following verses, verses 28 and 29. Because if he loved them from eternity past, he must love them for eternity that shall yet be. And so he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And this being the case, everything else flows from this solemn relation. The Father giving to his dear Son a people, and the Son loving them and undertaking to come to redeem them. But the Son keeping them, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We in our lives are so fickle and changeable. Our grace is perhaps for a while a strengthened. There is that enlivening, a quickening. And then, like the flame of a fire, they burn to a mere spark. And there is that decline, and coldness comes upon us. But that which perhaps does decline, but to an ember, may be revived, because feeding it is eternal love and the eternal attention of a Father and a Son by the Holy Spirit. And thus the Lord's people rest in their changeableness, in their wanings and waxings, in their declinings. They rest in one who is the same, yesterday, today, and forever, and in a God who changest not. Well, the Lord says, I know my sheep. And as we have said, everything else flows from it. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And it is especially the hearing of the voice of the Good Shepherd that is foremost in our thoughts. Because those unbelieving Jews could not hear it. As he says, ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. And conversely, the sheep of the Lord Jesus, able and willing as they are to hear the voice of their master, do not and will not hear the voice of the false shepherd. Remember how we read earlier, verse 4, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. But then this, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Well, on one hand, we are saying that it is the sheep of Christ, and only his sheep, who will truly hear his voice, which is to say, not only to understand the words that we have now recorded for us in the Holy Scripture, but to go beyond a mere outward understanding and to hear those words spoken to the soul, applied with power to the heart by the Holy Spirit. Well, this is the lot of the sheep of Christ, and to them alone. But we are also saying that these dear sheep will not hear the voice of a stranger. That is, in this context, of a false teacher. And if we are speaking of those Jews, indeed, particularly the Pharisees, who taught the people, then we must remind ourselves as to what they were teaching, and therefore those things that the true sheep of God would not hear. There is, you will remember, that chapter in Matthew, chapter 23, when in particular the Lord is denouncing the Pharisees. And as we were thinking upon these things, it seemed very apt as to the things he said concerning them. Well, he says concerning the scribes and the Pharisees that they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders. But they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. And again, he says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. And again, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte, And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. And again, he speaks of how they strain at a gnat, and yet swallow a camel, and how they make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but how within they are full of extortion and excess. And so he goes on. And the point surely is this, that the Pharisees, with all their legality, with all their countless rules and regulations, made the burdens, they devoured the widows' houses, and yet they had no power to lift those burdens with one of their fingers. And they, for all their pretense, for all their hypocrisy, would receive the greater damnation. They were but blind guides, as the Lord says elsewhere, blind leaders of the blind. And outwardly they appeared righteous unto men. But remember that the Lord, who seeth not as man seeth, but who looketh upon the heart, well, the Lord looked into their hearts, and he said, within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Well, no wonder then that the true sheep of Christ's fold will not hear the voice of such. And indeed, those perhaps few in Jerusalem and in Judah at that time, truly they could not have heard such voices as these, such legality, such hypocrisy. And those particularly, it seems, are those of whom the Lord spoke. But we see the greater principle here, for we are speaking of the Lord's dear people, and those whom they will hear. Now it will be very obvious to you all that when the Lord is speaking as to how they will only hear his voice, he is not saying that they will not hear the voice of one of his sent servants, one of his ministers, one of his preachers. Because just like the Old Testament prophets, they will speak the words that they are given. They will not speak of themselves, but the things of God. As Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. And therefore, we are thinking of the solemn distinction between those whom the Lord has truly sent to speak in his name, to speak those things that are consistent with his doctrine, those words that he has given. And on the other hand, those who are little like the Pharisees of old, and others, are preaching, as we read, for filthy lucre's sake, that is, for their own gain, for their own profit, or for the admiration of men, or for the preeminence in the assembly of the Lord. And this same principle holds. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And we can begin to understand why and how this is the case. Because there must be that testimony of the Holy Spirit, if the word is to be made effectual, if it is to come with power. And plainly, the Holy Spirit will only bless that which he has given, that which he has received from Christ, as he takes of the things of Christ and shows them, reveals them unto his servants. And so it is true. And I suppose it is connected with this also, that word that we also read in this chapter. Verse 16, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. We believe referring to Gentile believers, such as ourselves. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. And in truth, the Lord Jesus Christ does only have one fold. And however it may seem to the world's eyes, that one fold is found where the doctrine of Christ is truly preached. And it will be true that they will and do have but one shepherd. And therefore, if there be those who, like the Pharisees, preach a religion of works, of deeds, of performances, well, the sheep will not hear that voice, and they will flee from such teachers. Well, perhaps the Pharisees are an extreme example, but we remember what the Apostle Paul said about his fellow Jews, how that going about to establish their own righteousness, they had missed that righteousness that God had given. And so their zeal was not according to knowledge. And again we say that for the true child of God, any such preaching that seeks to set up a righteousness of man other than that righteousness which is of God by faith in Jesus Christ, any suggestion of acceptance before Almighty God on the grounds of our own works, our own deeds, well, it will be distasteful, and the sheep will reject it, and they will flee from it. And again, we may go further. Because we are speaking, in effect, of the difference between that which man can do, fallen, sinful man, and that which God has done in the person and through the work of his dear Son. And we believe this is the hallmark of the doctrine of Christ, that all must center in him, in his accomplishments, in his finished atonement. So if there is a speaking of those things that man is to perform, if there is an attempt to take the Lord's people back to a completion, back to a keeping of the law of God as was given at Sinai, well, this we believe will be distasteful to the Lord's people, and the sheep will not be able to receive it. Because we know that the law was and is a condemning law. And no matter how hard they try, the Lord's people are convinced and convicted that they cannot keep the law in all its rigor, in all its fullness. And so instead they are taught to flee from Mount Sinai to Mount Calvary and to the one who has fulfilled the law on their behalf, the one who himself, by his own perfect obedience to it, has magnified the law and made it honourable. Therefore, they may say, as the Apostle teaches, that they are now dead to the law by the body of Christ, that they might be married to another, even from him who is raised from the dead. And we believe this, that the great distinction may be described thus, that whereas some may teach obedience in the life of the believer, obedience to the law of God, that will only be to cast down the true child of God, because the thing will be found impossible. But there is an obedience that may be preached and will be found acceptable. That is that gospel obedience that comes through the grace of God and which is wrought by that grace. That obedience to the ways that the Lord Jesus has set down through the gospel and in them. That walking in love and that walking by faith, because we read that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so therefore, if there is a walking by faith and not by sight, then it is a walking in those gospel ways in which sin is avoided. And, of course, there is a need for the Lord's people to be encouraged. Encouraged in the things of God. But this must ever be the case. And we believe it is a litmus test as to that preaching that is truly of Christ by his servant. And that which will not be readily received by his dear sheep. And the test is this: whether in those things that are preached, it is on one hand, as man would perhaps prefer, an encouragement of those things that are within, an encouragement of our faithfulness, of our obedience, an encouragement of those things that come from our nature, things of the mind, the things of the natural heart. Or whether, and this is what we believe to be the true preaching, an encouragement of those things that are from above, of the Spirit of God. And of course, it is a fine distinction between those things that are given by God, that faith to believe in the precious Lord Jesus Christ, true repentance, true contrition of heart, a true trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And on the other hand, those things that are only of the natural man, and all men and women and young people have their natural hopes and aspirations, just as they have their natural fears, just as they have their natural sorrows and the other things that are common to us all. But we believe that where there is such an encouragement, it is a speaking of those works that God has wrought, those graces that he has implanted in the soul, and those hopes, those desires, after the great things of God's eternal kingdom. And you will know that these things are not found in man by nature. They are granted. They are spiritual. And the minister of Christ, if he sees these things in the child of God, and perhaps the pastor, if he observes them in his own dear flock, well, he will delight in those, and he will rejoice that there appears to be such a favour, that those who by nature confess themselves to be but dust, worms of the earth, sinners, lost and perishing, have yet, through grace, become partakers of such exceeding great and precious promises, partakers of these precious gifts. And we believe this is what Peter meant when he spoke of those dear believers to whom he wrote, becoming partakers of the divine nature. Because they are from God, this faith, this hope, this charity, well, where these things are in evidence, they are to be nurtured, they are to be encouraged. And we believe that the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will do these things for the child of God, for his dear sheep. Well, perhaps a digression. But where there is such a preaching, then the fulfillment will be known. My sheep hear my voice. Yes, the voice of Christ, speaking through his word, speaking through his dear servant, speaking through his pastors and teachers. But the Lord Jesus speaking, and the dear sheep hearing his voice. And he says, I know them, and they follow me. Well, one might say, in response to these things, how can I know this speaking? How can I hear this voice, even of the dear Son of God? And it is a favoured people indeed, who either through the ministry of a faithful pastor and a servant of the Lord Jesus are thus enabled to hear that word, or perhaps, as in this dear cause, those who come, some perhaps more often than others, but united by that one gospel, and speaking of one Lord Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep. But the sheep will follow him, and in following the Lord Jesus, they will desire to hear that word. They will desire to hear his voice. Because naturally speaking, if we are very fond of someone, if we have a love toward them, we are naturally very eager to hear what they say, to hear their thoughts, to hear what they will declare. Well, how much more so with the altogether lovely one, with the Lord Jesus? You remember in the Song of Solomon, the desire of the spouse, and how she asks, we believe, Christ himself in picture in that first chapter. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? Well, of course, it is a picture, but we can readily understand what this means for the child of God. None but the Lord Jesus will satisfy those desires. And she longs to know where he feedeth, where he maketh his flock to rest at noon. And none other is sufficient. Why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? And what does he reply? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tent. Well, again, the picture, but the understanding spiritually of it, and surely it need not detain us long, because the flock is the congregation, the church of the Lord's people. And if there is a desire to know the things of Christ, then that soul who so desires will go and be with the people of God. And likewise, to feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. Who are the shepherds? Surely, as we understand it spiritually, the under-shepherds, the pastors, the ministers of Christ. And where one has spoken with that unction of the Holy Ghost, where there is that savour of Christ. Well, I'm sure many of us know what it is, and perhaps we should not have our favourites. But there have been those ministers from time to time, have there not? And we have eagerly sat under their ministry. And we hope it is for this reason, because they have spoken unto us, and it has been blessedly applied by the Holy Spirit. But they have spoken of those great doctrines, those truths that are of the Lord Jesus. And if there is any love in our hearts toward him, then that love is stirred up, and we are thus caused and constrained to sit under such a ministry as speaks to us of the Lord Jesus, of the Saviour, of the Redeemer, and we trust and hope of our Saviour and Redeemer. And so the sheep follow. And there is this attaching to the flock of God. And blessed be God, whenever it is known, when a sheep is brought to testify of the Lord's goodness, and when that sheep comes and is joined to the church of God. But I'm sure you will realize this, that for such a sheep to come, perhaps a lamb, but for one to come and to desire to be joined to the flock of God, it is because that one has tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious. And there is that blessing of one who trusts in a precious Lord Jesus Christ. And it is because of the Lord Jesus and what he has done for that dear soul, that one must come, that one must be joined to the flock, that there must be that walking together. And there is that pitching by the shepherd's tents, because the desire is to be fed with that heavenly manna, and to hear the preaching of a precious Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we spoke earlier of a litmus test as to what was truly the doctrine of Christ, as opposed to a mere doctrine of man's devising. But really it is so simple, is it not? The sinner abased, the sinner lain low in the dust, and the Lord Jesus, in all his glory, in all his majesty, in all his holiness, in all his compassion, in all his long-suffering, in all his love, the Lord Jesus exalted and extolled and made to be very high. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And we cannot but help think of this, because alas, in our poor following, in our weakness, in our fickleness, we are like sheep, so prone to go astray, as we read in the Word of God. But it just came to us, concerning this love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that covenant love, and we may feel to have wandered. We may feel to have departed. And alas, we do feel so cold, so fickle. And these words from the 912th hymn, and perhaps words that we do not sing so much, but when like a sheep that strays from the fold, to Jesus thy Lord, thy love shall grow cold. Think not he'll reject thee, howe'er he reprove, for though he correct thee, he'll rest in his love. And just as the Father loved that people from the foundation of the world, so the Son loved them and gave himself for them. And he said, as thou hast given him, the Son, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And it will be our mercy if we are granted, and if we can speak of it, to hear that voice, that arresting voice, that voice of compassion, the voice of the shepherd, calling even one such as ourselves out of darkness into his marvelous light. And to hear that voice, and to know it, and to recognize it, and to love it, and to follow the dear Lord Jesus, to come unto him, to believe in him, and to trust in him, and to know that no man shall pluck, no, not such a wayward sheep as ourselves, out of his dear hand. May the Lord bless his own word. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Austin will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Sunday school is at Bethany this afternoon, and Mr. Chapman is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Robert Field next Lord's Day. And our friends at Fenstanton hold their Thanksgiving service on Tuesday at 7:15, and St. Ives' Thanksgiving service is on Thursday. Let us close with hymn 779. 779. Faith implanted from above will prove a fertile root, whence will spring a tree of love, producing precious fruit. Though bleak winds the boughs deface, the rooted stock shall still remain. Leaves may languish, fruit decrease, but more shall grow again. Hymn 779.
We would desire that of which the apostle did speak, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And oh, if it indeed be so with us, may it be that performing. Now grant us to know the fullness of it. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God our Heavenly Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.